Father, we thank you just for the time we've had, just worshipping you and just feeling your presence and just sensing the moving of your spirit. And Father, we thank you for that. Father, we thank you for that, the time we've had. And Father, now we come with expectant hearts, believing you to speak to us now. Father, we thank you that you are the God who speaks. You're not the God that is silent, but you're the God that speaks. And we pray, Lord, that you'd give us ears to hear what you're saying to us. Oh, Lord, that you would touch us, we pray, in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. And this is the Apostle Paul writing and just sharing something of his experience. He says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Whether you've read this passage before or read it hundreds of times, whether you read it, never read it before or read it hundreds of times, you will have heard that phrase, a thorn in the flesh. And over the years, there's been many, many debates, many discussions as to what this thorn in the flesh is. But in actual fact, this passage tells us, and this is just to give some background of the passage. It says this, it says that Paul, he'd had these extraordinary revelations. It talks about him being taken up into the third heaven. He'd had these extraordinary revelations, perhaps like no one else in history had had. Revelations of the glory of God, revelations, deep revelations of just understanding and seeing things. And it says that because of that, in order to keep him humble, there was given to him a thorn in the flesh. And people discuss, well, what is this thorn in the flesh? And they argue about it. And yet here in this passage, it just tells us. It says, "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me." It tells us immediately what it is. A messenger of Satan to buffet me. That was the thorn in the flesh. It was a messenger of Satan is a demon. And a demon was sent to buffet him. And consequently, he went through so many trials and difficulties. And all the time, it was to keep him humble. Because it would have been so easy for him to boast of all the things that he'd experienced. It had been so easy for him to say, I'm this and I'm that. But as he went through all these trials and difficulties, it brought him to a place of humility before the Lord and kept him humble. And so there he was, one who had these great revelations, and a thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan, was sent to buffet him. And three times he asked the Lord, "Take it away from me. It's too much for me." But then the Lord answers, and he doesn't take it away. But he says this, "My grace is sufficient for you." Then he says, and then it says this, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." And finally, Paul declares, "I will rather glory in my infirmities, in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." And the message I have this morning, in many ways, is really just a very simple message. It's that God is building a people of power. God is building a people of power. And that's the heart of this message. And we may not feel like it. We may feel as if everything is going wrong. We might feel as if, well, I'm just here struggling along. But the reality is that what God is doing in his people is to make a people of power. And as I was meditating on this passage, what I love about it is just the way it builds. And probably isn't something I'd even really particularly noticed before. It just shows how you can have read a passage hundreds and hundreds of times and just something maybe you see in just a slightly different way. I love the way it says, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Then it goes beyond that and says, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." And then it says that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And he begins, and the Lord's spoken to me. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. Whatever you're going through, whatever I take you through, whatever trials I take you through, whatever I lead you through, the path that I lead you through, whatever your situation you're facing, whatever I'm calling you to do, whatever thing I'm asking you to lay down, whatever path I'm asking you to walk, whatever situation, my grace is sufficient for you. And then you think about the grace of the Lord. And if you think of it like this, if this might help, think of it as all the treasury, all the resources of Christ. And it says they're available for you, all the resources of Christ. And that's sufficient for you. Whatever I'm asking you to do, whatever I'm asking you to go through, all the situation that you're going to go through in the future, all the situation that you're going through right now, my grace is sufficient for you. There's the storehouse. There's the storehouse of all the goodness of God, all the power of God, all the riches of God, all the strength of God. All of it there. And there it is, found in Christ. And it says all of it, all that you'll ever need, everything that you'll ever need is found in me. And I will, it's sufficient for you. Whatever you're going through, whatever situation, whatever God is asking you to do, there is a sufficiency. And then he says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Think of that. The great demonstration of the strength of the Lord is flowing through weak people. There's the strength of the Lord revealed. There's the great power of the Lord revealed, and it's revealed through and in people who say, I'm just weak. It says a similar thing in James. Don't need to turn to it, but it says in James chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, God resists the proud but gives grace unto the humble. And then in verse 10 it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. It's saying this, that as you humble yourself, then you will receive grace. And the grace that he gives you, he will lift you up. He will raise you to a new place. A place above all the circumstances, above all the circumstances of this world, above all the storms of this world, above all the difficulties of this world. He lifts you up and he makes a people of power. A people that aren't overcome by whatever's going on in this life. You see, very quickly, you'll find the people of this world, everything's going well and they're boasting of their successes and boasting how things are going, how life is going well and all their own triumphs. And then one little thing comes and they're knocked down. But the reality is that the person who is receiving the grace of the Lord the Lord has intended for us to live on a level where we're walking in victory. We're walking in triumph. We're walking in a place where we're above the storms and we're above the trials and above the difficulties, and where something comes and for the unbeliever they're knocked and they're overcome and they're going, what's going on and how am I going to survive and why is this happening to me? And the believer is saying, no, I'm above all this. I'm living in a place of victory. I'm living in a place of triumph. And that's what he leads us into, a place of victory. And so he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for whatever is going to face you right now, whatever is facing you right now, what's going to face you in the future, my grace, the resources of heaven, is sufficient for you. And then he says, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Think of that. The strength of the Lord made perfect in your weakness. The great revelation of all the strength and power of the Lord being made is revealed through weak people like you and me. And a weak person is this. A person who is humble, who says, Lord, I need you. I'm totally dependent upon you. That's a weak person. That's a weak person. If we boast in our own abilities, in our own efforts, in our own ability to get through a situation, we say, I've got the wisdom, I've got the strength, I can sort out this situation, I've got the wherewithal to get through it, then we're boasting and we're saying, I don't need the Lord. But the humble person says, oh, I'm weak, I can't do it. And then in our weakness, the Lord's strength is revealed, and suddenly he pours in his strength into your life, and you can walk in the place of victory and triumph over every situation. And whatever God asks you to do, you say, I can do that. Not because I've got any strength, not because I've got any power, not because I've got any wisdom. I've got none of that. But God says, but you can, because it's my strength that's going to do it. My strength in your life. You say, you know what you're meant to do. You know in a situation, you know what you're meant to do. But you say, I'm so weak, Lord. I'm so weak, I don't even know if I can do this. You know what you know the course, you know the right course to take, and you say, but I'm so weak. And he says, good, that's exactly where I want you, because now my strength can work in you and enable you to do the very thing that I'm asking you to do. That's the strength, that's the power of God working in you. And then, having heard these words from the Lord, these words that Jesus speaks to, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul responds, and he says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And you think of it, the power of Christ resting upon you, so that you can walk in victory. So you can walk in victory over sin. So you can walk in victory as the devil might come and speak lies to you. As you can walk in victory and in the power of Christ, so that you can share the gospel. So that you can do the works of God. So you can be part of God's working and in extending the kingdom of God. So you can be, as it were, in the front line of the battle. In the front line of God's army. And you think, well, I'm weak. Maybe you think, well, I haven't been saved very long. Maybe you think I'm not as strong spiritually as other people. No, but if you say I'm weak and you say I need the grace of God, he comes with his grace and he gives you the power of Christ. And it's the most amazing thing, because here that Christ is saying, I'm building a people of power. I'm building a people who are going to go through the land, preach it, sharing the gospel, sharing the good things of God, and seeing people saved. I'm building a people of power who are not overcome, but are overcomers. I'm building a people of power who will say, my victory is through Christ. Through Christ. And people who will say that The devil can't have any hold on me because I'm walking in victory, because I'm dependent upon the strength of Christ. It's that sort of victory. You see, the world, so many people are looking for power, but it's an empty power. The power that God wants to give you is a power that means you overcome. It's a power that he wants to give you so that you are part of this army that are moving forward and fundamental in the work of God, in seeing his kingdom extended, in seeing lives changed, in seeing people touched, in seeing people encouraged, see people comforted, see people strengthened in their faith, seeing unbelievers saved, seeing lives restored. You see, God's work right from the beginning was about people. It's about people. And God says, but I need an army. I need a people who are people of power. And he says, you're those people. You're the people of power. You say, oh, but I'm so weak. He says, wonderful. That's wonderful. That's exactly what I need. I need a people who are weak. And we look at the great people in Scripture. We look particularly in the Old Testament, and we find so many, and we think of them. And so often we think of them as because of their great triumphs. But often we forget where they started. I think of Gideon. And there was a man that he led an army of 300. It was brought right down to 300. And he led that army to defeat the Midianites. But at the beginning, when he's called, the Lord looked on him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And Gideon says this, and he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Here was a man who saw his own weakness. He said, look, I'm the least of my family. Who am I? But because he saw his own weakness, and he realized that if he was to do this, he had to be dependent upon the Lord. The Lord took him and used him. And that's what the Lord is looking for. He's looking for people who will humble themselves and say, I cannot do it. I am totally dependent upon you. But when you do that, you will know an experience of the power of God like you've never known before. You will experience something of the Spirit of God in you. Everyone who has really known and had a real deep experience of the Spirit of God and the power of God, and really had a deep experience of being used by God, that person will be able to point to a time where God brought them to a place of weakness, where they cry out to God and said, I'm weak. And God took hold of a weak vessel and filled them with his power and changed their lives. And God can take anyone who will just say, look, I'm weak. I can't do it. But I'm trusting in the grace of God. I'm trusting in your strength that is displayed through my weakness. I'm trusting in the power of God to come down upon me. And I'm going to, and when I'm taken through the trials, and when I'm taken to a place where God takes you to a place where you're brought even lower than you thought was possible, you say, I'm going to rejoice. Because if he's taking me lower, that means in due course he will exalt me. In due course he will display his power through me. In due course he will show his strength. And he will use me in his kingdom. And he will take me to the front of the battle. When a person signs up and joins the army, they want to see action.
People, you know, I've got friends in who were in the forces, and you know, they wanted to see action. And you see, God wants to take you into a place where you see action, where you see things happen. That's what he wants to do. He wants to take you to a place where God gives you a word for someone, and you see, just from you giving them that word, their lives changed. Change. He wants to use you to see people saved. He wants to use you, and know you, all of us, and to see his power, so that you come maybe on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday evening, and you say, do you know what? I saw the power of God. I saw God do something incredible. And you'll be rejoicing. And you'll just be wanting to tell everybody about it. And he wants you to experience this power, because he wants you at the front line of the battle. That's where he wants you. He wants all of us there. He wants all of us there at the front of the battle, where we see the action, where we see extraordinary things happen. But we have to come to him and say, I'm weak, and I need your strength, and I need your power. And actually, I can't sort everything out, and I can't work everything through. And sometimes he'll have to take you through a path, or along a path, where there are trials and difficulties. I think of Joseph. His brothers abused him. Then he's thrown into a pit. Then he's sold into slavery. Later on, he's taken into prison. At the end of it, he ends up being the deliverer of his people, when he becomes, as it were, prime minister of Egypt. But he's taken through this course, a very, very tough course, but he's the means of a deliverer of the Hebrew people. That's what happens. And sometimes we can be asking ourselves, why is this happening to me? What's going on? And all the time, God is doing something. He's doing something in your life so that you, in due course, will experience the power of God. You will experience something of the glory of God. And you'll be walking in victory, and you will be seeing amazing things happen. It says in Ephesians 6, put on the full armor of God. It tells us that we are to walk in his strength, in his might. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the attacks of the devil. And the devil will attack, but when you put on the full armor, when you just humble yourself before God and you just trust in Christ, Christ clothes you, and then you walk in the might of Christ. You walk in the power of Christ, and you're used by Christ, and you overcome every attack of the enemy, and you're walking in victory, and you're walking in this higher place. And that's where the Lord wants to take you. And there's a in Ezekiel, there's, as it were, a picture of vision, and it speaks of a river flowing from the temple, and person is being led through in this water, and it's a water of life. It's a wonderful water of life. It's a river of life. The person is taken from a shallow place to a deep place, from a place of ankle depth to knee deep, to the place where the waters are so deep that you have to swim through the waters. And this river is a river of life. And on the banks of this river are trees that bring forth life. And there's a multitude of fish in this river. And everything that touches this river brings forth life. Now the Lord wants to take you and each one of us into an experience of just the depth of his life, and so that we are able to bring life to others. And he wants to take you deeper into that experience of the Spirit. He wants to take you deeper into an experience of God himself. That's what he wants to take you. You see, at the moment you might be ankle deep. You might be knee deep. But wherever you are, He wants to take you deeper. He wants to take you so you're so deep into the river. You're so deep into the life of God. You're so experiencing the Spirit of God. You're so experiencing the power of God. You're so experiencing the glory of God. And it's a deep place. But it's there that you'll find victory over every situation. It's there that God's going to use you. It's there that you'll see the power of God. It's there that you'll see miracles. It's there that you'll see lives changed and people saved. That's where it will happen. And you'll be at the front line. And you will wonder. You'll look back and you'll say, I didn't even think these things were possible. I didn't think God could use me like this. I didn't think that was possible. But it only requires one thing. It just requires you just to humble yourself and say, I'm weak. I can't do it. But I know one who can. I know his grace is sufficient. I know that his strength is made perfect in my weakness. I know that as I glory in my weaknesses, that the power of Christ will come upon me. And you will know the power of Christ. And the power of Christ is far greater than anything that this world can. Riches, the power of this world, any of these things. When the power of God comes upon you and you're used by God, or you'll have a testimony and you'll just want to share with everyone what God's been doing through you. And he can take anyone. All he needs is a person who says they're weak and will humble themselves and say, I can't do it. That's all he needs. And then God's glory comes and rests on you. Amen.